As America ages, so does one of its most vulnerable populations, people who are homeless. According to research, more than half of America's homeless adults are over 50 years old. Back in the early 90s, it was much less, 11%. With aging comes health problems. As part of our weekly partnership with the health and medicine publication STAT, we're joined now by Bob Tedeschi. He's a senior writer at STAT. Bob, what about that fact that most homeless adults are over 50 years old? Why have they become more vulnerable to homelessness than they were, say, 25 years ago?
Well, thanks for having me, first of all, Lisa. I appreciate it. You know, the statistics, the trends driving the aging and the homelessness are largely tied to the development of the baby boomer population just getting older. I mean, that's a big part of it. But also, seniors that are living on fixed income, Social Security, disability, it becomes really hard for them to afford places to live. And a lot of first-time homeless, it turns out, are facing these kinds of circumstances where they get to age 65, can't afford the rent, and they have no other alternatives but the streets.
They become homeless for the very first time in their 60s. You followed one man for your piece, 68-year-old Dwayne Allen Foreman in Oakland, California. Who is he, and why did you decide to choose his story?
I decided to choose his story because, it represented what's going on with most of the street, the chronically homeless and who are aging. You know, very, very few have any sort of intersection with our medical system, with the exception of maybe going to the ER every now and then. And Dwayne Foreman is somebody who is 68 years old. As you mentioned, he's got HIV, hepatitis C, chronic lung disease, and also lung cancer now. And so he was living in his car, and, you know, I spent the week shadowing him and talking to him about his experience, and it was just profoundly heartbreaking.
Tell us more about it. He lives in this Volvo station wagon. You say he tries to keep the car as tidy as he can. He, as you suggested, he's very sick. He used to weigh something like 170 pounds. He's now under 100 pounds. What else is his life like?
You know, he's the days that we were with him, he spent the days just trying to get through and trying to find a comfortable position to rest in his car, for instance. Sleeping
in
his car is in a tremendous amount of pain. You know, he can't get good nutrition because you can't cook meals. And how are you going to get out of your car and get to a, you know, any sort of market nearby if you're in tremendous pain? It's just hard for him literally to get out of the car. And so, you know, that's the experiences of a lot of these people. And he's lucky to have the shelter of a car. You know, a lot of people have difficulty even standing up.
So for people like Mr. Foreman, who might have HIV or cancer or hepatitis or heart problems or a combination of all of those, is there any way that they do get health care beyond emergency rooms?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time speaking with a researcher named Margot Kuschel at the University of California, San Francisco, and she's looked deeply into this issue. And we were talking about how they can get medications sometimes, and you could, you know, if you're lucky enough to get to the ER, you can get medications for a lung disease, for instance. But if that's a breathing apparatus of some kind, imagine trying to manage that in a cardboard box or out in a field or underneath a bridge somewhere, and then you bring into the narrative somebody who needs pain medications, narcotics. Those things have tremendous street value, and for this population, just securing a bottle of pills presents a huge issue.
And especially people who may not have the wherewithal to take any kind of medication on time, be consistent about it, and may not have family to help them out, to live with, or just to care for them in some way. Is there, though, one city, one place that seems to be able to deal with this problem now?
Yeah, and that is in Boston. This organization called the Boston Healthcare for the Homeless program. It's run by a gentleman named Jim O'Connell, and he's sort of a legend in this field. But the program, which provides outreach to people on the streets, at clinics, at shelters, developing some sort of trusted continuum with this population, it's really singular in the country. It somehow has managed to get funding from Medicaid for this facility where they can bring people in from off the streets at the end of their lives for respite care or for hospice care. It's gotten Medicaid funding for that. Can't find that in other states right now.
Mr. Foreman, Dwayne Foreman, told you that he doesn't think he's going to be around much longer. He just wants to make sure he doesn't die on the streets. Can you tell us, if you've been in touch with him, how he's doing now?
We found out just a couple nights ago, actually, that that he was found unresponsive in his car by someone who alerted EMS, and he was taken to a hospital and is currently in the ICU and is not doing well, sadly.
Well, thank you for telling us his story and shedding light on the issue. Bob Dedeschi, senior writer for STAT. We're going to link to Bob's story on the growing population of elderly homeless at hereandnow.org. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks again, Lisa.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Lisa Mullins.
I'm Robin Young. Jeremy Hobson will be back tomorrow. He'll be broadcasting from South Carolina ahead of Saturday's Republican primaries. And we'll keep an eye on that story Lisa just told us. It's Here and Now.